Wow, it's happy Friday and happy Halloween. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales-Ryan, here as well. And, of course, on Fridays, we bring you How Music Changed and a series on Jimi Hendrix that we've been doing now for about 3.5 months. Wow. And what we've been doing, last week we started a series basically based upon one series of shows that Jimmy was doing at the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco. He did a 3-night stand, and they recorded the entire series of shows. And it was released posthumously. I mean, so much stuff of Jimmy's career was released posthumously, and so much of it, to be honest, isn't worth isn't worth hearing, or because it's just people cashing in on stuff that was just lying around and wasn't meant to be released at all, or it probably could have embarrassed Jimmy. But then there's other things that came out that are mind-boggling, and the 3-night stand box set of Jimmy at Winterland is one of those. It is absolutely mind-boggling. The sound, wait till you hear this. I mean, if you heard last week, you know what I'm talking about. The sound is unbelievable. I can't believe that it goes back to 1968. I mean, I was raving then about this is 57 years ago. Think about this. I mean, this is Jimi Hendrix. I mean, who else was this stunning of a live performer at this point in time? There was nobody that touched him. There might have been, I mean, of course there were rock stars. There were other rock stars that, you know, that were remarkable in terms of what their output was, in terms of their songwriting and stuff. But as far as performers, nobody. I mean, nobody even came even within a mile of what Jimi Hendrix was able to do, which is why these shows at Winterland prove. And that's why we're going to do one show on each of the three to show the variety of what he was able to do and his improvisation and just his pure, his strength at performing. It's mind-boggling. I just can't think of a better phrase for it. So this hour is dedicated to the second show of Jimmy's 3-day stint at San Francisco's Winterland Ballroom. And like last week, we probably can only fit 5, maybe 6 songs into our 1-hour program. Now, luckily, I can also state that I'll probably be able to avoid any redundancy between the set lists of what we played last week and what we're going to be able to play this week, with completely different songs being offered in the time that we have to play them for you. So this time around, the song list, though, will be a bit more familiar than what we played last week. Because last week, I think a lot of the songs, you might have never even heard them before. But I think you're going to recognize the large majority of what we're going to play today. But he does stretch the songs out quite a bit. And he leans into the material until he virtually reinvents the songs anyway from what might have been expected. One thing I didn't get to say last week that I felt remiss about that I want to bring up, and it was only because we were running out of time and I couldn't come back and say it. We played the song Killing Floor toward the end of the show, and I wanted to squeeze in that bonus version of Purple Haze since we had a few extra minutes. But I wanted to mention that the bass player on Killing Floor was actually Jack Cassidy of Hot Tuna and Jefferson Airplane, which is interesting. It doesn't state why, but it was around this time when Jimmy and Noel Redding were having a little bit of differences. They were beginning to have problems in the studio recording. Noel Redding didn't like that Jimmy was doing 40 takes of a certain of any song, and that he was constantly having 20 or 30 people in the room while he was doing his takes. He felt like Jimmy wasn't being serious, and Jimmy felt like he was being more than serious, like he was taking it as serious as he possibly could by doing 40 takes because he was able to. So this distanced him from Noel, and Noel sometimes wouldn't even bother to show up because he was so angry at the way Jimmy was working. So Jimmy just shrugged and played his own bass And we'll get to talking about that as we begin to cover Jimmy's third album, Electric Ladyland. But I would think, as that's about what is happening in the background while these live performances are happening, that might have had something to do with why at one point Noel Redding isn't on stage and Jack Cassidy was. Or maybe it was just Jack Cassidy showed up and they invited him up and Noel was more than happy to give him his bass. I don't know. But it's just conjecture on my part. But let's get the party started. First track up that we're going to hear is Like a Rolling Stone. Now, we've played that before because we heard Hendrix doing that when he was playing at the San Francisco show from 1967. But this is much more stretched out. This is almost a 12-minute version. And that we'll let that segue into a version of Are You Experienced, which is also a 12-minute version. Listen for the flute. Apparently there's a flute player on it. His name is Virgil Gonsalves. So here's Like a Rolling Stone and Are You Experienced. Enjoy.
Cat named Dylan, and what I like to do with the song is this thing called Like a Rolling Stone. Dressed so fine, through the bumps of dime in your prime. Oh, didn't you? People call, say, but where a dog? You're bound to fall, you thought they were all. Don't seem to talk so loud.
For Virgil Gonzalez on the flute. Yeah. It was like a jam, you know. The cat had his accent, so we said, all right. We're having problems, so please give us about another minute to get it all together, all right? Because, in order to do it right, we must...
All right, during that minute, I will tell you that you're listening to American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPCHD in Gordon City, New York. Did you hear that flute that Jimmy's talking about by Virgil Gonzalez on that track? I mean, I don't know about you. First of all, I want to make a correction because in the beginning when I was talking about like a Rolling Stone, I had mentioned that when he did the show in San Francisco the previous year, and what I meant to say was Monterey when he came to America, not San Francisco. I mean, this time when he played the song, he obviously remembered all the words because he got in the full 11 and a half minute version of it this time around. And this was a hot version, much better than the version that he did at Monterey even. But in general, these shows, I feel, are revelatory. This is some of the best live music I've ever heard in this box set of Jimmy at the Winterland Ballroom. I mean, he may have had awkward moments, either socially or business-wise, with Noel Redding, and maybe occasionally with Mitch Mitchell, too, the drummer. But, I mean, they prove themselves to be the perfect accompanists for him as bandmates. I think that this series of shows represents, like, really the high point of Jimi Hendrix in his live performance. At this point in time, you know, late in October 1968. And the band, meaning Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell, are very much responsible for creating or at least supporting that excitement. They have the sense of going over the edge, looking like they're going to fall off the cliff at any minute. And by them being like that loose, and it gives Jimmy all that much more room. There's nothing holding him down. Later on, when he does team up with different musicians, you'll see, we'll get there. But when we do, it's almost like they're sort of holding him a little bit in a box. They're enclosing him a little bit. With this stuff, it's the sky's the limit. He can go anywhere because they're not really holding on strictly to any sort of not even a tempo or a phrase. They can follow each other anywhere, and it's amazing to hear it. It still sounds like it's something that most people really could not even begin to fathom to do almost 60 years on. It's that remarkable and special. I still think that, you know, Jimi Hendrix was so far ahead of his time that 60 years on was still trying to figure out how he did it. It's absolutely amazing. What we are playing now is day two of the show at the Winterland Ballroom. If you want to hear day one, we played that last week. You can go to our website, AmericanNetwork.com, and hear excerpts from the show day one. We will return next week with shows from day three, excuse me, songs from day three, as we move on toward eventually covering Jimmy's third album, as we move through this series on Jimi Hendrix, the life and music of him. And we got the whole series. If you're interested, this is part 14, so there are 13 other shows at our website. Go to AmericanHitNetwork.com, and you can hear them all. And there's a whole bunch of other shows there for you to hear as well. All right, let's pick up where we're going. I mean, we just played two songs, and we're already like well past the half-hour mark of our show. I can't believe that that's the case. I'll play two more, and who knows? That might bring us to the end. I really don't know, because these songs are long, and it's great when Jimmy stretches out. I know the next one's going to take us pretty close. It's a very long version of Red House, and we're going to follow that with a version of Purple Haze.
Nine and one half day.
wrong, really wrong. Lord, I'm missing the key, just won't unlock this door. Now, what the hell happened on the other side? Wait a minute, something's wrong. Wait a, what do I say now? know that a big fat butt sister will. Let me say it right. Oh, sister will. Hey, take it easy. Don't let the bed bugs bite. In peace, brother.
Yeah, like you said, don't let the bed bugs bite, and I'll see you tomorrow because we're going to be doing that next week. And I hope the show was spooky cool enough for you for Halloween. It definitely had to be cool enough. I mean, I don't know if you can get much cooler than that, what the show just was. As for spooky, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix, it's pretty awesome. We can squeeze in one more song. Just want to remind you again, once again, though, that the show is How Music Changed, and we are here every Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. We're also here on Wednesdays between 5 and 6 p.m. when we do basically a countdown of albums, when we're looking at the alternative top 40 and the top 500 of the top 40, 1,000 albums that we've been looking through. And we've already done something like, we've done like 550 of them. It's pretty nuts. We're up to 1975 at this point in time, so we're at this period of transition right now. So that's going through a cool phase. So join us for that as well. And we've got one more Hendrix track for you. Now, what we're going to play, this is pretty incredible because I didn't realize this. I always figured that when Jimmy was at Woodstock and he played the Star Spangled Banner, that was something that he just pulled out of his hat, more or less, at that moment. Obviously, that's not the case because here he is in 1968 on October 11th playing it at the Winterland Ballroom. Now, everybody associates, his version with Woodstock. But, you know, here it is, just about a full year before then, with him doing it in San Francisco. So here is a full-length version of the Star-Spangled Banner. Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you next Friday. Bye-bye.